Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, friendos, and welcome in to the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast. It's Welch, it's Bogman, ITL for the final In This League Fantasy Football Podcast, regularly scheduled podcast of the season. Today, we are going to be talking about and shaming all of you that played in Week 18, LOL. We're going to look at how everybody finished, how the fantasy football season finished weeks 1 through 17, the Lord's way to play fantasy football, and we'll be looking at our couple-round mock that we did. Did a couple-round mock for the early 2024
too early
season. Way too early. But it's a good thing to kind of start simmering on the values. There's some ranks that are going out there and all that stuff. And speaking of, come on over to InThisLeague.com and sign up today on our Patreon, which many people have been doing in the brand new year. Support your boys. We appreciate that because not only will you get access to all the stuff, the GroupMe rooms, our community, mock drafts, leagues, stuff like that, access to us. I've got baseball stuff going on as Bogman does well, but Bogman told me he is working on his early ranks to be dropping here in the near future, and that'll be on Patreon. So sign up today at InThisLeague.com. Are you thinking some very nice early ranks in January, late January?
I'll have early ranks. I don't know if they'll be in January, but I will have some early redraft ranks as long and as well as, you know, the Dynasty Pod is coming back with Fitz and I, and Ryan Wormley is going to be hosting it this year as well. So it'll be Fitz and I as the analyst and Worm hosting. So that comes back next week. So I'll be working on Dynasty ranks, and I will have those up and official at the end of the month, going into your big offseason pre-draft and all that stuff, into free agency. And then obviously movement is going to change a lot too. But yes, I will have rankings very soon. I got those rankings, NFL draft rankings, baseball rankings.
Yep.
It's rankings month for Bogman.
That's so right.
Yeah, that is what I've been doing a lot of, is, you know, toiling over each decision. And it's tough. A lot of talent. Lots and lots of talent.
Well, so. And the good thing to hang on coming over to the Patreon is, as you know, I've always, Bogman and I have always gone on this with ranks. It's like you make your initial set and then you evolve them. And if you want to see the evolution of them, be on the Patreon and you can kind of see the monthly evolution of redraft, dynasty, and the NFL prospect side. That's going to be available as well as his baseball. I've got all of my baseball stuff. So check it out. InThisLeague.com. Sign up on the Patreon today. And this is the final regular season episode. Week 18 was tough. Well, we didn't do the bet this league because we're not betting on games. Props were a disaster. I mean, my two worst weeks have been in the last month of the season in props.
You don't bet week 18 and you try not to bet week one. Those are the things for me.
Yeah.
Because week one tells us so much about these teams. Week 18, you don't know. I mean, midway through the game, Philly gave up, right? So you just don't know going in. During the game is tough as well. When are these teams going to wave the white flag? It's like betting preseason or spring training. It is just not.
And some people like that. Some people like that, though. I don't, and you don't. And I did not fare well in that week 18. but I'm looking to kick it back into the wild card round. So we will be back with a Bet This League wild card edition later in the week. And we'll probably have one or two more of those. Definitely a Super Bowl edition, which will be like a really, you know, shorter version of that. But just make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you can get anything that's happening in the offseason. Bogman does episodes with CK talking about the war room and the NFL draft. Have a little bit more betting, but this is the regular end of Bogman and I for this season on the football pod, and that's why we're doing the mock draft, which we usually always do. We do some version of a mock draft.
And usually we can do it on a place, but this year the places were like, nah, you can't draft anymore. Season's over. Use a Google spreadsheet, clown. Go ahead.
Yeah, so. Vandrax was just like stiff arm right in the middle of it. Probably could have like,
why doesn't this work for everybody? And like, well, you're the commissioner. You're the only one that can see the draft room. I'm like, okay, never mind then.
Yeah, they did a season's over type of thing. Probably could have hit them up and done it, but we were under a smaller crunch. So we ended up self-picking these first couple. And that's what we're going to, like I said, we're going to be going through. You guys can get kind of a feel for what this first round looks like. We'll talk ranks. That's all of what we're going to do. But can you imagine your entire fantasy season on the line and you played week 18?
Like, no.
Embarrassing. I just don't know how you guys do it. I know some people do it. That's how you've always done it. You go to the very end of the season. Okay. If it were roto, some form of roto or point accumulation overall. Okay. And you don't have individual.
You mean you don't want Jarrett Stidham and Blaine Gabbert and Easton Stick and all these other stupid backups? You don't want Sam Darnold and Carson Wentz?
It was already enough.
What's your problem?
That, like, I went into my championship with Jake Browning and we had a record number of bad quarterbacks. But then to add in without choice, Brock Purdy sitting and Sam Darnold's in, Stafford sitting and stupid Carson Wentz is in, and more. I just don't know what anybody else can do. If you play into week 18, that's fine. The number one thing Bogman and I have always been about with fantasy, number one, is have fun. And a lot of people miss that.
That's why you started.
A lot of people miss that, and they show themselves that they miss that out into the world. And obviously there's big money and there's an industry. Hell, I'm hired at Fantasy Pros because of the fantasy industry. You know, so Bogman gets paid Fantasy Pros for the industry and stuff like that. So we're not acknowledging that, but
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's not what you did, son, that angers me, son. It's who you did it to.
Who? Nobody?
Nobody.
ITL.
Fantasy is supposed to be fun. So if it is fun for you to play into week 18, don't listen to me. Don't listen to Bogman. Just we can zip it and you can move forward.
Zip it up and zip it out.
If you're looking for the best process, I'm not trying to take away your fun. I don't know how you guys can justify.
How is that? How could it be fun is my question.
You imagine cutting Christian McCaffrey the final week to pray that you were able to get Jordan Mason or Eli Mitchell off the wire or something like that. It's a huge pass. It's a huge pass to all the nonsense bullcrap we saw because there were a handful of teams that were still being competitive. And even those teams were difficult into being competitive into it. So you know what? If this week 18 didn't do it for you, it never will. It absolutely never will. You imagine riding all those 49ers and every single one of them sitting. Deebo Samuel has 2 catches and is done. Ayuk, no McCaffrey, no Purdy. It's crazy to me, but it's nothing to continue on about. Something that is worth continuing on about. A few people in our group me know this. Most of you are not going to care, but we are going to talk about it. Going into the final week of Derek Van Riper's pentathlon, Bogman and I, hard-fought season, were in sixth place. Mind you, we were so good in week one, we warranted a specific message into the whole group of, oh my God, what the hell did Bogman and Welsh just do? We killed the picks. I think our super flex was awesome. We were, Survivor was good. And DFS, we won first place first week. We were so good. Then we just kind of like, we teetered a little bit down. We had a Cooper Cup injury. We got Nakua. Yeah, we got Nakua, which helped in super flex. But we just couldn't get that hump over. DFS was kind of struggling a little bit. So we're in sixth place, final week. No one's catching first place. And by the way, nobody did. Yeah. Davis Maddock and Sammy Reed, congratulations. I was about to call him Sammy Davis.
Sammy Davis Reed Jr. Yeah.
I don't know Davis, but I know Sammy. We've known Sammy a long time. They deserved it. They absolutely destroyed.
Yeah.
But there really were did. 2 points that separated second place, which I think was Pat Fitzmaurice, our dear friend. And us in sixth place, Bogman and I, won after passing someone in the Superflex League by 0.5.
We had to light a candle at the altar of the god of stat corrections to make sure. And we did. I mean, DVR had to wait like
three
extra days for stat corrections before
but
he threw out money. Yeah.
Bogman and I, in our first year in the pentathlon, I'm very proud of us. We got second place. We beat the likes of Scott Pankowski was in there. Pat Fitzmaurice, Jeff Erickson, Govier was in there. Derek Van Riper. I don't even remember who the hell else was in there. Some rough ass people, some tough fantasy guys. And it was five elements: best ball, super flex, picks against the spread, survivor, and DFS. And that last week, we just pulled through. We had a top three DFS team.
By the way, Welch, just real quick, when was the last week? Which week was it?
17.
Okay.
That was it. We finished in 17, by the way, if you weren't aware. But yeah, we did it. We had one of the worst best ball teams you could ever have. Everything we did was wrong, but we made good on everything else. We tied for the best survivor, even though we had two strikes after week five, I think it was, because we didn't realize it was a three strike and we didn't make a pick in week two. We then went all the way through double elimination and we tied for first in survivor. So I'm very proud of us. That was also a pretty large dollar league. And we won a little bit of money for first place in DFS. And then we won second place money on the overall, not first. So what can we, really be excited about? But we did a pretty damn good job on all five of those contests. You and I finishing in second place.
Yeah. I mean, second place is the first loser, but not when you get cash. And we got cash.
We got cash money. We made money. We made the monies, which was very exciting. So that was exciting. And
all of our OnlyFans.
It was a pretty good year. Not for mine. mine's going into NFBC drafts. But also, I won our 16 team, three sport dynasty football league, which, by the way, with Jake Browning, a quarterback. You know what I didn't realize? Back-to-back champion. I won last year too. Yeah. And I had like Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers and all that.
Yeah, McCaffrey.
I didn't have McCaffrey.
You don't have McCaffrey?
Who no, have? No, I have Eckler. I had Eckler, Etienne. You know who did it big for me? James Conner. James Conner was huge. But Jefferson is my big guy. I have Jefferson, Ayuk, and Debo as my wide receivers. Yeah. And then I drafted Laporta this year. I had all these core guys built around Jake Browning, and I won back to back in a 16 team one. So I'm pretty proud of that as
Laporta.
Well.
And he got hurt that last one, by the way,
no torn ACL. So thank you.
Thank God. And I was really worried about that because they usually don't do this, but like week 18 on the red zone, they're like, all right, we're going to take a look at this Sam Laporta injury. Scott Hansen, God bless him. He does a great job. But they're like, zoom in. You can see right here where the calf. And I'm like, good Lord. Why is this happening?
Well, in that same league, I have Goddard. And I was like, my offseason plan is like, I'll try to move Goddard. Someone needs a really good tight end. I still have that because I have Laporta. But then when Laporta got hurt, I'm like, well, looks like I'm going to be holding on to Goddard into the offseason. But it was a pretty good football year. Pentathlon, I'm, really, really proud of. I didn't do crazy in best ball. There's actually a best ball that we did that you won first and I won second in. So there was one of those best balls that was looming out there. But
yeah, one of those underdog ones. Yeah,
those underdog ones that we did.
I actually looked at it like the week before. I was like, oh, look at that. I'm in the money right here. And then won whatever. Well, I think it was a cheap one, so it was like $32. I was like, I got a weird amount in my account now. That's strange.
Yeah, you got some weird ass amount, but that was kind of the that was a crux of it. So I'm looking for. Oh, and did we crown who won the other things? Are we the only ones we did? We had a champs league, and then we had we pared things down this year, and then we had the guillotines.
Yeah,
so, Pop beat me in the championship game of the guillotine because every single one of my players was bad, and he had Christian McCaffrey in week 17, not 18. So I know Eric Toff was one half of the guillotine champion, and I don't know who the other one was.
Aaron won the other one, and Lieutenant Don won the champs league.
Did Don win the champs league?
Don won it. Yep.
What a G.
Beat CK. And it wasn't. Wow. Was a particularly close game. CK knocked me out, but it was, I mean, he had Baker Mayfield. Listen to this lineup. Mayfield, A-Chain, Breece, and Devontae with Isaiah Likely at tight end, and the Buffalo defense scored 22 points. Remember, they had that pick six, so our fumble recovery for a touchdown. So he won 167 to 115, and I think that might have been one of the highest scores of the entire year. So
you're getting in that chain habit, a chan, just letting you know.
Oh,
little I know that's what you care about.
Yeah, thanks. Anything else I'm doing wrong? You want
to No, you're doing everything right. You're doing, great. Best ball champion, So, rock star
champion.
But, that was kind of the ITL crux of it. So, congratulations to Aaron and Toft for winning the guillotine leagues, Lieutenant freaking down for winning. Did I tell you? I told you too, by the way, that. I accidentally put my two of my daughter's Christmas presents on that Christmas list for Deck Our Balls.
And you don't remember telling us about this on Deck Our Balls?
Did I tell you on Deck Our Balls? Yeah. Okay, buddy. I had like six shots in like 30 minutes.
I'm not surprised you didn't remember.
Yeah, no, so, I don't. But yeah, yes, yeah. Dawn was nice enough to not only buy me a present, but bought my daughter Christmas presents. So thank you for that. And congratulations. He's going to be taking home a ring from officialfantasyrings.com, a customized ring, baby.
He was like, you know what, Welsh? I'm not going to judge. Maybe the Barbie movie got to you.
He literally put in the like little message that came with it. He's like, you had Barbies on here. I'm not going to judge. So I just thought I'd pick a few up for you.
Here's your Barbies, pal. There you go.
I like to celebrate my championships with a couple championship Barbies I'm going to put up there. But. No, not so much.
You should have them wear the rings as belts.
Ooh, that would be pretty good. Yeah, there's a lot of modern Barbies now. I don't think those rings are going to fit on those modern Barbies there, Boggs.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not touching that one. No. So we can just move past it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
It's full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
All right, so let's take a look. This is going to be a 2024 preview with the mock, but you got to kind of review 2023 before we get out of it. So I went over to Fantasy Pros on their per week basis, and this is just really the finishes, and I sorted weeks 1 through 17 because that's always a little tricky misnomer about when you look at overall points on players is if you focus on all 18 weeks that you would not play theoretically. So we just focused on 17 through, and this is just going to be looking about how guys finished. We're not going to go nuts about it, but here's your top 12 Boggs at quarterback. Obviously format doesn't matter. Number one, Josh Allen, most points, 385. Jalen Hurts, number two at 370, close. Big drop to the next guy with over 30 points, Lamar Jackson at three, Dak Prescott at four, and Jordan Love at five, Brock Purdy at six. Those are your 300-plus scoring quarterbacks. Allen, Hurts, Jackson, Prescott, Love, and Brock Purdy. Coming in at seven, Patrick Mahomes, Goff at eight, Baker Mayfield at nine, Tua at 10, stupid Sam Howell at 11, and Russell Wilson at 12. You know what's missing out of there? CJ Stroud, because we're looking at total points. The only changes that happen here, if you add average points, I just want to give everybody this, is Joe Flacco actually comes in at number three on average points. You've got, let's see, Cousins was five until he got hurt. And then Fields missed a decent amount of time. Fields would be eight, Murray nine, Stroud 10, Herbert 11, Anthony Richardson would be 13. So just giving everybody perspective with injuries and stuff like that. Allen and Hurts were completely unaffected. And for all intents and purposes, I'm not going to count the Flacco thing. The top five is unchanged, no matter anybody else. Then things start changing up. Like Kirk Cousins played like about half of a year and Purdy and Richardson and stuff like that. But that's how the quarterback position filled out this year.
I mean, yeah, and not too many surprises in there. Maybe the success of Jordan Love was a touch of a surprise, but I mean, that last 6 weeks, it was like as soon as I was unimpressed with him, and then he went into Pittsburgh and had a good game. The Steelers still ended up winning that game, but he had a good game there, and he was just caught fire down the stretch. I think he ended on a streak of like how many? I mean, I don't even remember how many touchdowns he threw yesterday. How many was it? Jordan Love.
Love, I don't know, but I'm looking here. Love had 28.4 points, which was the second most in week 17.
He threw, he threw for two more touchdowns last week. So I think his touchdown to pick rate over the last like 7 weeks was 15-1. I mean, he was incredible. He threw for 316 yards, and that receiving core, surprisingly, even with Watson down most of the year, I mean, Jaden Reed has become a dude. Dobbs is unbelievable. They have two decent tight ends. Dontavian Wicks has looked good. This was all with the running game not looking good. Aaron Jones was bad for a big chunk of the year. A.J. Dillon was just awful, and they could not find a backup. They brought James Robinson in and out and in and out and in and out of that lineup. So kudos to Jordan Love.
It also takes a lot for you to talk positive, because Bogman and I would get in fights early in the year in pentathlon because I would want to put Jordan Love in DFS, and you're just like, I'm not putting Jordan Love in any lineup. So for you to turn on that, like you've accepted he's not.
So you do want to talk about other things I do wrong. Right.
No, yes. It's not about that.
No, keep going. Keep doing it, pal. It's a lot of fun.
You got lots of stuff right. You won us DFS leagues. I'm just pointing out for you to be talking positive about Jordan Love now.
Well, that was also the last 3 weeks. And by the way, he was way too expensive when you wanted to put him in. And he wasn't good. He wasn't good until, like I said, that Packers game, he was unimpressive until the Packers played the Steelers to me. He had some good games in there, but not like he did down the stretch. He was unbelievable. So
yeah, to your point, weeks 1 through 10, he only had two 20-point performances. Weeks 11 through 17, which was seven games, he had five of seven games being 20-plus performances. So he really was
good. It was a tale of two halves, but you could see the click. You could see the thing come together for him and really work out, and they needed him. And that's what got him to the playoffs, because the run game was not as good, and we know the defense was horrific.
So I'll tell you, Kyler Murray is going to be really interesting, too, because Kyler ended up having
bang.
He had seven games registered, which his number was 10th overall in scoring, 19.1. But four of his seven games played were 20-plus point performances. He never scored less than 11. I know that's not like a big deal. Only one of his performances was under 15 points scored. So six of seven were over 15 points scored, which is consistency. And if you would have spread that over the season, he probably would have been a much bigger marker. So, Kyler Murray will be another one of those. But that's how, I don't expect Sam Howell and Baker Mayfield to repeat. And I would buy into guys like Anthony Richardson and Kyler Murray.
How about Burrow? Burrow hurt to start the year, hurt to end the year. Obviously a huge disappointment.
Purdy over Burrow next year.
Purdy over Burrow.
I'm asking you.
No, I still think Purdy's going to be very good, and there's a lot of talent around him, and he doesn't have to be good. He just has to be good enough. And that scores a lot of fantasy points, but in terms of just skill, I don't think I can take Purdy over.
I don't care about skill. I care about results. And Brock Purdy had the best completion percentage. I think he was number two in yards? Or no, I guess that kind of fell off. Well, he didn't play the last game. Up until there, he had 4,200 yards. All the guys played that week. He was like number two in that area.
And look,
Though he didn't play the last week, he still had 31 touchdowns, which was third, and it only got overpassed by Jordan Love. So it's like, he's top two in all the categories that matter.
Yeah, no, he's great. He's a very good quarterback, but I don't believe in him long term. Okay. So I don't think I can do it. Look, I'll say this. I bet you I'll like Purdy more once we get to draft season because his cost will be way cheaper than Burrow's. I still think that. So
when T. Higgins is gone and
Jamar T. Is Higgins and, makes the biggest difference ever.
I'm just saying you look
what
at
you're
weapons.
Worried about. I am not worried about weapons. Andre Josefovic was amazing down the stretch. He's so good. He's going to take over for Higgins. Boyd is still there and they have draft picks. I'm not worried about the talent around Burrow. My concern about Burrow is this dude ever going to stay healthy for a full season again?
Sure.
That's what the worry is. But in terms of skills, I mean, it's Mahomes and Allen, Lamar, and then probably Burrow. So I would take him still in terms of score or skill over Hurts. I would take Hurts ahead of him in fantasy because he's going to score way more points. So my thing was here. I love crapping on the Bengals. Bengals, the only team in the AFC North, not making the playoffs. Love that. And Burrow had a bad year. So I just wanted to point it out.
All right, let's a lot of time on quarterbacks here. Running backs, here's how they finished. Christian McCaffrey scored over 100 points more than number two in half PPR. Absurd. Christian McCaffrey, number one. Raheem Mostert was the second highest scoring running back in half PPR this year with all those touchdowns.
Scored 21 touchdowns.
Yeah. Number three, Travis Etienne. I don't think a lot of people would get that on your trivia. The number three highest scoring running back was Travis Etienne. More impressive, and he actually is the second highest average per game score, was Kyren Williams, scored the fourth most fantasy points at running back. He did not play 4 weeks, not including his bye. He essentially did not play weeks 7 through 11. He was not playing whatsoever.
He the only other running back to average over 20 points besides McCaffrey?
19.9. So, no, McCaffrey's the only one, but he's essentially there. Number five was Rashad White. Number six was Breece Hall. They've scored almost the same amount. Joe Mixon, probably going to be playing for someone else at number seven. Derrick Henry at eight. Jahmyr Gibbs at nine. We also know Gibbs didn't play 2 weeks and the role changed. I'm going to look at second half guys in a second. James Cook at 10, Kamara 11, Bijan Robinson is 12. If we look at average, a little bit of a change. McCaffrey is still number one though. Kyren Williams was average the second most points per game. Raheem Mostert was number three. Devon Achane is number four at 16.5 per game. Etienne is five. Kamara is six. Gibbs is seven. Montgomery is eight. White 9, Hall is 10, followed by Barkley and Pacheco. So the per game really does change stuff up. And then if we go, what would this
be? I think you need to look more at per game for running backs, mainly because so many of them miss time and miss games. But yeah, it's it was an interesting mix here. And I think the big thing for everyone going into next year, Arthur Smith is gone from Atlanta. Unleash Bijan. I cannot wait.
So real quick, the per game from week 9, which is essentially the second half, here's your per game week 9. Number one, not Christian McCaffrey. Kyren Williams was the second per game.
Huge, enormous games. Remember that game against Arizona where he had like 200 total yards and three scores.
22.4 points. Christian McCaffrey, 21.7. They're the only two to score 20 or plus points in half PPR week 9 to week 17. Number three, Rashad White. Number four, Isaiah Pacheco. Number five is Gibbs. Six is Mostert. Seven, Jonathan Taylor. Eight, Mixon. Nine, Breece Hall. 10 was James Conner, James Cook. And then Ramondre Stevenson didn't play a whole bunch, but he was in there. That's what the average in the second half ended up looking like at running back. So those are going to drive some stuff. I think Rashad White and ETN are the most interesting when we're going to look at ranks and stuff. Those two are fascinating because
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. And after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
Be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more.
Let me tell you something about
In This League.
From a last year perspective, there's something that doesn't stand out. From this year perspective, there is something that is going to stand out. And you can mention it once I get through it. Here is how the first round went in our mock draft. Christian McCaffrey, number one overall. And that was by CK. Chris Young, Justin Jefferson, number two overall, first wide receiver. Chatty, Tyreek Hill, number three overall, second wide receiver. Bogman had the fourth pick, swooped up CD Lamb, fourth overall pick. Number five, Ben took Jamar Chase. Four wide receivers, one running back. Kind of a standard so far in early mocks. So don't be surprised by that, but those are the big players. Here's where things kind of open up. And again, you're trying to deal with values. Amon-Ra St. Brown was the sixth overall pick by Jay Harris. Toby, Travis Kelce with the eighth overall pick. Kyren Williams ended up being the ninth overall pick. No, I think I have this backwards. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Travis Kelce went seven overall. Eight was Kyren Williams by Bauman. Kyle took Bijan Robinson, 10. Our boy Tone took Isaiah Pacheco at 11. I had the wheel. And I'm going to just mention my wheel picks because it doesn't matter. I took Jonathan Taylor and Jahmyr Gibbs as mine. So
by the way, I think you skipped one. I think Bijan went 9, then Zito 10 was Breece Hall.
Oh, I'm sorry. Pacheco, yeah, that I did script that because these aren't numbered here. So I'm just educated guessing on the numbers here. So yes, Bijan was 9, Breece Hall 10, Isaiah Pacheco 11. I took Jonathan Taylor and Gibbs on the wheel. And the obvious standout here is Travis Kelce going.
Kelce went too high. Toby took him too high, and maybe he's still in on Kelce, and that's fine because Kelce is amazing, but you're not going to have to take him there. You can get him in the same spot in the second round, and I think it's still a little early. Like I said, I'm going to have him on the back end of the second round right now. Just, you know, got a little older. The Chiefs offense as a whole and Mahomes didn't really have a good season either. So he could easily bounce back up to being by far and away the number one tight end. You just don't have to take him there. So that was the one that kind of stood out among all of the picks. But yeah, I think these are some pretty good picks. I think I would have gone some running backs maybe right after Chase went, maybe even before Chase. I mean, I have it in my board right now as four, but there's a little worry with Burrow.
See, here's what's tough. I'm going to throw this out here. Our boy, I got a couple of them, but I'll just put this out because he put it publicly. I didn't see D-Bros. Erickson put out his early top 12 football rankings, and he's doubling down on last year, and he's putting Jamar Chase at number one again. He had Jamar Chase as the number one overall player this past year, as did D-Bro. Completely disagreed. We were both right, but whatever. Not even from a wide receiver. I didn't have him as my number one player. It was CMC. Also didn't have him as my one wide receiver, but double down. Erickson is back to Jamar Chase. So when you look at this top five, here's the deal. You're going to have McCaffrey, I think, is just the biggest no-brainer, but there'll definitely be people that'll be like, well, we can't repeat.
The running back injury, running back deep, whatever. Yeah.
Number one player. I don't care. But you're going to see these combos of like, Lamb was the highest scorer. Tyreek is the most dynamic. Chase and Jefferson, maybe most physically gifted, talented.
Average per game, by the way, Tyreek was the highest scorer still. So
per game, yeah, average. But total scorer was CeeDee Lamb. You're right. So you got these combos between all of these that I really think that's going to be the core. The guy that's going to sneak in is going to be Kyren Williams, how ridiculous he is. And or there is a push, especially if you want running backs, on Breece Hall. I'm going to be very high on Breece Hall this year. The amount of receptions he had, insane. The offense is going to look so much better with Aaron Rodgers back. Hopefully a lot more dynamic. But I think it's like Kyren Williams is the one player that's going to push this first round. But that's when things open up after that. You've got the Breece Halls. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to rank pretty high in a lot of these lists. I believe, I think I just went away from it. Where the hell, our boy Erickson had Gibbs at 10 overall, but yet we didn't see like Etienne go in this first round. So you're going to have these combos. And I think D-Bro has Achan in the top 10 as well. So like you're going to see the Achans and the Gibbs and the Bijans float around that top 10. I think those guys are going to be the biggest polarizing picks, but you might literally see first half heavy wideout, second half heavier running back, except there is some good depth at running back this year that it might be better to take a wide receiver because you have a legit shot at getting a Rashad White or an ETN or a Mixon or whatever in the second round. So that's going to be the tough thing.
I think this is the year, honestly, to go rogue, to do something different, because I feel like running back is deep. I feel like wide receiver is crazy deep. And we have, you know, the wide receiver crop coming in is unbelievable.
Yeah, and that's not even mentioning, and that's something I'm going to mention to the next round. Let's actually do this next round I want to mention, because you're bringing up a great point. And this is what that second round looked like. So I took Jahmyr Gibbs. He was technically my 2-1. Puka Nacua, potential first rounder that sits in there. Why you might want to consider Puka Nacua at like 9 or 10, because then you can get one of these running backs. Because listen to this. A.J. Brown was the second pick in the third pick in the second round. But then Rashad White, Travis Etienne, Saquon Barkley, and Achan. That was the next run we had. The final five picks of that round, DJ Moore, Ken Walker, James Cook, Olave, and Garrett Wilson. So the reason I bring this up, I was talking with Seeley before my last Athletic Fantasy Football Pod episode, and we were off air talking about like a guy like Marvin Harrison. Marvin Harrison might be a second round overall pick, second round pick in fantasy this coming year, which is kind of an absurdity. But think of like where guys like Garrett Wilson would go on the talent. We always have these young wide receivers that boost up. Now put a generational talent like Marvin Harrison in a great lineup, we go up. How about Odunze with Washington? I'm in love with that guy.
If he goes
in a crazy good situation,
Rome.
Those guys could boost up. But like, do you think Marvin Harrison would push this second round area? Like if you're deciding between, you know, I mean, DJ Moore or Olave or Garrett Wilson, would you rather have Harrison over any of those wideouts?
I probably would put him ahead of Wilson and Olave. You don't even know
where the hell he's going to go. I mean, you're shooting the Bears, but.
Yeah, I assume either the Bears or the Cardinals, one of those two teams. So, but it doesn't matter where Marvin Harrison goes. He's going to be the number one target getter for whoever takes him. So I am excited for his. And Neighbors, dude, Neighbors was so good as well. He'd probably tuck in right after Olave and Wilson for me. So yeah, I mean, MHJ, he's going to come in here and impact this a lot.
What didn't fit in this round just quickly? Like, was there anything you didn't love?
I don't think anything didn't fit.
I can be honest with you. I didn't love your pick of Ken Walker. That was probably the one I didn't love the most because Charbonnet is kind of still looming. And I mean, I guess to your point, like, the comparative players, I mean, I would have rather Debo. I mean, I think Debo would have been better in that spot, who went like almost the full turn through, or even maybe make a bet on Nick Chubb. I just thought the biggest question of any of these players in this belonged to Ken Walker.
Yeah. Looking back, I probably would have taken James Cook, but gotcha. I still like Ken Walker way more than most people do. And elusive rating was still good. Yeah. Still had a ton of carries. He played through his injuries. He had 9 touchdowns. He was more involved in the passing game than he has been in the past. Remember, this is a guy that came in not catching any balls at Michigan State at all. So the receiving game is still new to him. So yeah, I'm still way big on the Ken Walker train.
The third round, last one we're going to just take a look at, Keenan Allen, who we mentioned was like third in pretty much, you know, every category still. He was the number one pick. So CK had McCaffrey, Wilson, and Allen. Josh Jacobs went to Chris Young, who essentially went Jefferson, Olave, Jacobs. Chad took Nick Chubb, who his pairing was Tyreek Hill with James Cook and Nick Chubb. You took Alvin Kamara, so you ended up with Lamb, Walker, and Kamara. Ben ended up going 3 straight wideouts. He got Debo, so he got Chase, DJ Moore, and Debo, which is pretty nuts. James Harris took David Montgomery, so he paired Achan with St. Brown. Toby took Saquon in the second round and got Joe Mixon, so Mixon, Barkley, and Kelsey. Bowman took Etienne in the second round and then took Mike Evans in the third, so that's Kyren, Etienne, and Evans. That's a pretty damn good one. Kyle took Rashad White in the second round. His might be the best. He has Bijan, Rashad White, and then Brandon Ayuk, who was a top 12 wide receiver across the board. Stephon Diggs was Zito's pick, so he got Breece, AJ Diggs. Tone took Puka Nacua in the second, and then James Conner. I finished up with Cooper Kupp, so mine was, and Tone's was Pacheco, Nacua, and Conner. Mine was Taylor, Gibbs, and Chubb. What's your favorite pairing through the first three rounds, knowing, you know, the depth at running back we have, the advantage at wide receiver? Like, was there a pairing of these three? Because I think mine is Kyle's with Bijan, Rashad White, and Ayuk.
I think mine is probably yours. I like picking what you picking at 12 has shown me is I want late pick. Oh, I want that. I want Taylor and Gibbs. Spot. There's no way that those guys both fall.
But I think I might be able to get like, even if you didn't get, I think you can get Taylor Gibbs, not, but maybe Bijan falls.
I don't think so. Maybe I'm going to have Bijan the second running back.
But how many players? Okay. So like if we took Kelsey and Amon-Ra out, no, you took Kelsey.
I think you just take Kelsey out.
And then you replace him with Gibbs, let's say. Who are you? Like, you could still get Achan, White, Etienne, Puka.
Well, this is Taylor. The point,
some
right?
Combo of those guys.
Right. This is the point. Because for me, I'm gonna have CMC, Bijan, Breece, Taylor, Gibbs, Achan, Williams, right? That is my top seven.
So 12 and, for you, you're guaranteed to get Taylor, which is phenomenal for you.
Well, I mean, if I can, great. But I have Taylor at 4 on my board. So of running backs.
Based on early mocks and ranks, my point is you are going to be able to get your Taylor at 12 right now.
If that's the case, then unbelievable. And to get Gibbs there, too, is just it's such a good start. And, you know, look, I know the running back is deep, but so is wideout. Wideout is insanely deep. So I'm still going to lean more towards the running backs, which is why I ended up taking Kamara in the third after my Ken Walker pick. But
like you said, like Neighbors and Harrison and Adunze, them coming into this is going to be second and third round value, which is going to push more value out. So like if we look at our draft and we add those guys, that might push Cooper Kupp into the fourth round. That might push Ayuk or Mike Evans into the fourth round, which is why you could really get some good pairings.
Right. And we haven't even mentioned so many good talents yet. I mean, you know, just looking at running back, you know, where does Mostert go? He had 21 touchdowns. He didn't go in this draft.
Yeah, and he's a tough one because of age.
Najee was great down the stretch. At wide receiver, we haven't even talked about Devontae or Pittman, right? DK Metcalf hasn't got a mention yet. You vaguely mentioned Rashee Rice and Amari Cooper had a great year. So there's just
I might have paired my cup if we did a fourth round with Rashee Rice. I honestly might have gone fourth, even though scoring wise, like maybe
you could have taken Pittman there because Nico called, right?
No, Pittman didn't go. I probably personally would have probably gone Nico or Rashee Rice, but to your point, like those guys are going to be third to fourth round picks. So, you know, pick your poison. You can get those great running backs.
Stephon Diggs went third to the last pick in here. I mean, you know, there's so much talent.
Young wideouts are going to push great talented wideouts down as well, that you have this opportunity to take like Gibbs and Rashad White or Gibbs and Achan in the first two rounds, which might feel riskier. But dude, think of the wideouts you can get in the third, fourth. Diggs is going to fall. Mike Evans is going to fall. Pittman's going to fall. Nico, you can get these core.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
No one asked you anything ever, so whomever's name is
In This League.
Why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull?
Hey! 12, man. There's still 12 good ones, so... there's a lot of talent right now, and it's going to be a lot of fun to sort out and pick through.
Yeah, there you go. So that is the early mock draft. Those are the rounds. Some of the potential. We'll be doing this in the offseason. We'll be talking about ranks, and you can get Bogman's ranks in the near future at inthisleague.com. So sign up, get access today. Probably going to be out here within this month. So come and sign up inthisleague.com, get access to mock drafts that we're going to do. Get Bogman's dynasty and prospect coverage and ranks in the offseason, some redraft stuff. I might pop some very early, like top 12 at each position ranks coming out here in the near future. We'll have lots of coverage for you, and hopefully you guys are going to join with us. And that is it. So thank you guys so much for hanging with us this season. It's been a crazy year, and it's thanks to so many of you guys why, you know, Bogman's presence with Fantasy Pros has grown and grown. I can't tell you how much they love him there. I got my opportunity, not just because of football and hosting, but baseball made a big reason. But you know, this is a big year for ITL. Bogman's profile has become so much bigger. I got full time in the industry, and it's thanks to so many of you. We really got better handles. I know we skipped a couple weeks, but our betting records were pretty nuts. as well this year from the overall stuff. So we're continuously improving all those things. So just want to thank everybody for hanging with us. Hopefully you guys took home some championships, and hopefully we can be there along with you all off season long. Make sure you're subscribed to the pod, because we got some Bet This League coming up this week. Do a couple more throughout, like I said, the NFL playoffs, and you're going to be able to get some offseason coverage right here on the channel with Bogman and CK talking about draft coverage. So Boggs, that's it. That's all that we got for the peoples.
That's it. Enjoy the offseason. Like Welsh said, tons of coverage still coming at you. It's just this show is going away because the 2023 season for fantasy football is over.
Willing to let it take a nap.
Congrats to all the champs. Good luck in 2024, everyone.
That's right, buddies. Follow us on Twitter at Bogman Sports, at Is It The Welsh, and we will talk to you next time right here on In This League. Bye, buddies.